the VCA Voice podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marie Curl. Our goal with the VCA Voice is to showcase how VCA Animal Hospitals is taking care of the future of veterinary medicine. We'll bring our purpose to life through meaningful conversations about care, our culture, and the communities we serve. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Ashley Byrne. Ashley is a credentialed veterinary technician and a regional technician director for the Pacific Northwest in Hawaii. Welcome, Ashley. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's jump in right away and get started on some of the questions. Tell me a little bit about how you started in veterinary medicine and when you joined VCA.
Yeah. So I started with VCA in 2004. I went to Pima Medical Institute of Seattle for their veterinary assistant course and started with VCA as an extern. And I've been there ever since. I went back to Pima to do their technician course and stayed with VCA as a technician and as a technician supervisor and got me to where I am today.
Oh, excellent. So almost 20 years. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
How was your experience as a veterinary assistant extern to join VCA?
Yeah, my experience as a veterinary assistant extern was fantastic. The practice I joined was very busy. There were a lot of opportunities for me to learn. Mm-hmm. So I was able to hop right in, get all the skills I needed accomplished very quickly, and really quickly engaged with the team. And so was hired on right as soon as my externship finished, which was fantastic.
How much time elapsed between joining as a veterinary assistant and then when you went back to school? And were you working full-time during that as well?
Yeah. So I was actually part of the very first veterinary technician class for Pima Medical Institute. And it was in 2007. So okay. A few years there had transpired in the meantime. Mm-hmm. But that was really exciting to be a part of. Of course, you know, we got to be there through their accreditation process and really getting everything set up. And it was a really great experience.
Yeah, it's hard because I think that we have probably a deficit of really quality training programs for veterinary technicians. So I'm really happy that they embarked on that and started that program and that you were able to be in the inaugural class. Were you working full-time when you were in the veterinary technician program or were you part-time or how did that work?
I was full-time. I was really lucky that Pima Medical Institute actually started with a night class, which really served the population at the time because most of the people who were joining the technician class were working full-time. So they needed it to be an evening endeavor. And so I was working full-time. I would leave the clinic in one set of scrubs, go, you know, change two different set of scrubs and be a student for a few more hours in the evening. It was great.
That's actually wonderful because I think that having to leave work and go to school is a barrier for some people, some of our veterinary assistants who are looking to become credentialed veterinary technicians. So that's a really neat program. Do they still do that and have an evening program or is it all daytime education now?
Yeah, they do still have an evening program, also morning and afternoon classes. So they have several cohorts going on at a time and it makes it much more accessible.
So tell me, what exactly does being a credentialed veterinary technician mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. Being a credentialed veterinary technician means that you have gained credentials in the state that you work in. Every state is different on their credentialing process. Generally, it means that you graduated from a two-year AVMA accredited program, mm-hmm. passed the Veterinary Technician National Exam, which we generally call the VTNE, mm-hmm. and took state tests to ensure your licensure in that state. From there, it means that you're usually allowed to do more tasks or perform more tasks within that state, according to the Veterinary Practice Act.
So you have letters after your name that are both LVT and CVT. What do the different letters mean?
All the states do everything, you know, just a little bit different. So that language comes from the specific practice act.
Okay.
Washington has licensed veterinary technicians. And that's the state that I am licensed in. I'm also licensed in Oregon, where they have credentialed veterinary technicians. But other states like Hawaii, I am finishing up my licensure process there. They'll have registered veterinary technicians.
So you're gonna hit all of them.
Yeah, we're gonna hit all of them. All the letters Absolutely. After the name, but they essentially mean the same thing. And one of the goals of a lot of the technician organizations, particularly on the national level, is to all have the same And I think that will help to be better understood within the veterinary industry if we can all go by one title.
Is there a licensure in every state in the United States? Or are there some that don't have licensure?
There are still some that do not have licensure requirements. And there are many states that have an option to be licensed, but don't currently have any differences in what a licensed veterinary technician can do and what a veterinary assistant can do. And that's really important work being done right now on the state and the national level to push our profession forward. It's been really exciting work to see happen in my own state. And some states are still working on that growth, and I'm excited to see that.
So what's the main focus of a veterinary technician, and how is it different than a veterinarian?
Yeah, that's such an important question. They are two different scopes of practice, but both really important. So the veterinarian in the hospital, of course, needs to diagnose, do surgery, prescribe medications, provide prognoses. And the veterinary technician is in charge of all the nursing care that comes along with treating that patient. So it's really a heavy task, right? We are given a plan by the veterinarian and we need to execute that plan. So when we look at the different scopes of practice, I think that, you know, we need to remember that the DVMs, you guys are the subject matter experts in making that part happen, right? You guys need to make sure and make those diagnoses, create the perfect plan or what we hope to be the perfect plan for that patient. And then the technician team needs to follow through. And so the importance of the veterinary technician is that they need to be able to provide really excellent nursing care, which can include administering medications, perhaps helping with procedures, assisting in surgery, you know, addressing pain management issues, but anything patient care.
So it sounds like there's a lot of teamwork involved to make that perfect patient care outcome happen. Where do veterinary assistants fit into that picture?
Veterinary assistants, we cannot do anything without them. I'm so glad you asked. You know, veterinary assistants are really important pieces of the veterinary team. So of course you have the veterinarian and then you have the licensed veterinary technician. The veterinary assistants really help with patient care. Not being regulated, you're going to have varying skill levels and varying levels of involvement with a veterinary assistant, but they play such a key role in making sure that the patient is cared for. They might assist the veterinary technician in administering treatments, in perhaps setting up things like fluids, getting that patient into surgery. The veterinary technician cannot do it by themselves.
I'd like to know when you became a regional technician director with VCA and what does that position involve?
I took the regional technician director position in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. So that was a really pivotal time for everybody in the world. So March of 2020 is when I officially accepted the role, and it's been such a fantastic ride. You know, I think that this position didn't exist within veterinary medicine before. Mm-hmm. So I was really honored at, you know, being able to take on a role that had potential to change veterinary medicine in terms of its structures for technicians. As regional technician director for the Northwest and Hawaii group, I cover 5 states. Mm-hmm. I cover Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. And my position involves a lot of things. It can vary depending on the practice that I go into, but what my goal is to support all the technicians and assistants in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And so generally that means I visit the hospitals, make sure they have everything they need to do their jobs and care for their patients and support them in that great work.
How much are you on the road with that? It sounds like if you're covering that many states and such a broad distance, you must travel quite a bit.
I do travel quite a bit. Yeah. So first, I have a very coveted geography. I get a lot of people who want to go to Hawaii and Alaska, and everybody loves the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. I am in the field frequently, you know, with a couple states that I need to hop on a plane to get to, but also I'm located in Washington. So there are a lot of hospitals that I can get to that, you know, are driving distance from me. So I do travel frequently, you know, a couple days a week, maybe an entire week, depending on the location I'm visiting. Mm-hmm. But I also have area technician coordinators, which are super
helpful. Oh, okay.
So this is something that our group actually had prior to when I started in this role. So I inherited this amazing group But I do have technicians in key geographies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm not able to make it to that location as frequently as I would like, of course, I would love to visit all of these hospitals all of the days, mm-hmm. but they're there. So I can ask them to visit these hospitals and support these teams. It's really instrumental in making sure across our geography that our teams get the support that they need.
So what kinds of support is that? Is it educational support? Is it technical training? What are the ways that you or your area technician director support the hospitals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the needs of the hospital really vary. You know, mm-hmm. all of our hospitals have their own individual cultures and structures, and some have very strong cultures of education, you know, but others, we need to make sure we get in there and provide really great education. So to your point, yes, sometimes it is that we're getting in there for on the floor training. Sometimes it's a leadership focus. We're helping those really strong tech soups be supported so they can support their teams. Other times it might be, you know, individual initiatives like helping with hands-free radiology. You know, it's just really exciting to be able to get in the hospitals and work with the teams on whatever it is that they need to do.
Some of the other groups have really focused on the technician supervisor role and making sure that hospitals all had a technician supervisor. Where is the Pacific Northwest group in that initiative?
We are getting there. We have talked a lot about making sure we have a strong technician supervisor or leader in each hospital, even our small ones. I think that when we think tech soups or layers of management, we do think about the big hospitals, but I'm a GP tech. You know, I mm-hmm. worked in a small GP hospital for years and years, and it is still so important. And when we talk about that, we kind of talk about the importance of having that strong leadership presence specifically for the technician and assistant team, right? So you generally have a hospital manager or administrator. You generally have a medical director. We really need to have somebody representing the technicians and assistants on the leadership team. So we are still working on making sure we have technician supervisors in all of our hospitals. And our goal is to make sure that every hospital does indeed have a technician supervisor or leader.
Yeah, it's such an important position. And it also involves a lot of leadership training as well, that both veterinarians and technicians, I think, have a deficit of that in their educational process.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I try to work with my tech soups on. It's to your point, we tend to have a deficit. We spend time in school working on medical, and you know, we can treat our patients and we are super effective with that. But when it comes to leadership and communication, we don't always have those skills. And so that is a really important point, that as we put people in these tech supervisor positions or any other leadership, we make sure that we provide them with the leadership training to do their jobs effectively.
So what are you most passionate about in your regional technician director role?
Hands-free radiology is my big passion.
Okay. And how's that training going across your hospitals?
It's going. You know, it's really important to us to get in the hospitals and do in-person training. I do a mix, you know, as I mentioned, my geography is really big. Mm-hmm. So I do mm-hmm. a mix of online training. I try to do virtual or remote in, but I also work to be on the floor. So hands-free radiology, for those who haven't heard of it, is the concept of having your hands off the patient and even in many cases being out of the room or further away from the radiation exposure. So mm-hmm. the goal is to keep our team safe and have really good patient care.
How supportive are the veterinarians and even the customer service representatives in that hospital when you go to institute hands-free radiology? Do you get pushback or do you have a way to get everyone on board?
Yeah, that's an important question. I think that the answer to that is educating everybody, right? So mm-hmm. when I come into a hospital or even when I'm doing a virtual training, I want everybody to come, right? You mm-hmm. know, the doctors have stake in this game. Even you're, like you said, the CSRs. I think the more we can talk about what goes into hands-free radiology, the better they're going to understand and understand why that would be a thing that we would even want to do. I think the veterinarians, you know, they're generally not taking x-rays, nor is that something, as we were talking about, scope of practice, right? You know, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily need to be taking the radiographs. So they don't always know, mm-hmm. you know, we want to make sure that we're able to get further away. So when, you know, when the technicians and assistants are taking the x-rays, we're very close to the table. You know, we've got PPE mm-hmm. on and everything, but we're very close to the table, hands on the patient. And that's something that isn't always visualized. But once we invite the doctors and the, you know, CSRs and the hospital managers to kind of look behind the curtain with us, they can understand, oh yeah, we could get further away. We can help our teams get further away, and it is possible, and we need their support. So once I get my teams, especially those doctor teams, involved in the training, I don't have much pushback at all.
I understand that you're the president of the Washington Veterinary Technician Association. Tell me a little bit about that role.
So I'm currently the president-elect. This will be my second round in the presidential cycle. I've been thrilled to be a part of this organization. I started in 2019, kind of by happy accident. I joined a committee, and for anybody who's joined a board before, you know that that's how it started. But it's fantastic to be a part of this board. Yeah.
What does that role involve?
So part of the presidential role is engaging the board. So we've got a board of about 10 people. We support each other and all work together to achieve common goals. Okay. We do that in a variety of ways. We might provide education. We try to provide services to our members that will help them in their particular roles. Most recently, we've done a lot of representation at the state level in government affairs, which has been really exciting. So that's been the majority of my presidential role, is being involved on the legislative level.
Why is this work important to you?
This work is really important to me because we need more voices within veterinary technology. I think we often consider work such as being on a state tech board or even on the national boards as kind of out of reach or ivory tower. Like, you have to be a specific kind of technician or have a certain level of education to be involved in these boards. And it's simply not the case. You know, there are a lot of people on our boards, and it is important that we have diversity, right? So even if you feel like perhaps you're not qualified to be on that board, or perhaps you've not done enough to be on that board, your voice still matters. And it's still very important to get involved with that, if that is something that you want to do. One of the most important things to remember is that big decisions are made on these boards, right? You know, our board goes and represents all of the technicians and assistants in Washington in veterinary board meetings on different levels and platforms. And, you know, volunteer boards almost always need help, right? We always have way too much on our plates and not enough people to do it. And so if you feel like you've ever wanted to be involved in a board, I encourage you to reach out.
That's great. And finding ways to serve your profession in different ways. And it also helps to make those professional connections with people you wouldn't otherwise get to work with. So I love that spirit of volunteerism and expanding that role. You mentioned that in this role with the Veterinary Technician Association that you have had interaction and work with the state board. What is the difference between the Washington State Veterinary Technician Association and a state board of veterinary medicine?
Yeah, so all the states run just a little bit differently, but it is important to know that there are distinctions between. So I am on the Washington State Association of Veterinary Technicians, and we are a nonprofit organization that represents veterinary technicians and veterinary assistants. And that is different from the Veterinary Board of Governors in Washington. And so they are a branch of the Washington State Department of Health, and they work on addressing things like complaints made to the board, other legislative actions that happen within veterinary medicine as it relates to Washington State. And they have a different scope in Washington State. Even then, we have the Washington State Veterinary Medical Association, and they are the nonprofit organization representing the veterinarians. And so all of us all work in tandem to make sure that we are making good decisions for the veterinarians and veterinary technicians within Washington State. And while we're all separate, we try our best to work together.
I know that there's a few states out there that have included a veterinary technician on their state board of veterinary medicine. Is Washington State one of those, or is that still yet to come?
Yeah, they actually do. The Veterinary Board of Governors in Washington does have one veterinary technician member and an option for a second. So it can be either, that's an either or, a veterinarian or a veterinary technician, which is quite exciting. It's so important to have a veterinary technician representing on that particular board. Now, we can't do both in this state. You know, we can't be on the Washington State Veterinary Technician Board and the Veterinary Board of Governors. But yeah, it was really great to see some technician representation on that level.
Can you tell me about any victories that you've seen in your role with the Washington State Veterinary Technician Association and any future things to look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think over the last few years, being involved in the Washington State Association of Veterinary Technicians has really been on the legislative level and our collaboration with that. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to work with the Washington State Veterinary Medical Association really closely on issues that relate to veterinary technicians. It's a little unheard of that the Veterinary Association and the Technician Association work so closely together. I'm so grateful for that. Our State Veterinary Association, not only do they pull us to the table for our thoughts and input on things with veterinary technicians, they expect us to have that voice and to have that opinion, and they support us. In addition to that, we've been able to work with the AVMA and NAVTA as well on a lot of legislative things within Washington State. It's been such a great experience being able to collaborate on a state and a national level with the technicians and the veterinarians. It's just been such a thrill to align on these goals and to make things happen.
So you've got a frontline seat to making the profession better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And other people can do that too. That's, you got to join your state tech board, national tech board. They want the help.
We're nearing the end of our time together. It's been absolutely lovely to speak with you. In closing, what do you think is the secret of success to be involved in veterinary healthcare for the duration of a career?
I think what's really important is to find an area within veterinary medicine that really speaks to you. Our profession is growing exponentially. And even on this podcast, we've been talking about government relations, you know, other opportunities that might be something that interests you, or maybe it doesn't. Finding something within veterinary medicine that really makes you excited to go to work every day. The sky's the limit. We've got so many opportunities for anyone in the veterinary practice, but especially veterinary technicians. I've never seen so many opportunities. So I would definitely advise, you know, that anybody really explore that. Finding what really matters to you is going to be helpful in keeping engaged in veterinary medicine.
Oh, that's wonderful advice. And thank you so much for sharing that. Ashley, it's been absolutely lovely to talk with you and to hear your perspectives. Thank you so much for your time and for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. Don't forget to leave a review to let us know your thoughts and share the episode with friends. Follow VCA Animal Hospitals on social media at LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more inspiring stories, visit our website at vcavoice.com.